said in Samuel 20, these are the words of God. And there happened to be there a rebel whose name was Sheba, son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and said, "We have no share in David, nor do we have inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." So every man of Israel deserted David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah, from the Jordan as far as Jerusalem, remained loyal to their king. Now David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and put them in seclusion and supported them, but did not go into them. So they were shut up to the day of their death, living in widowhood. And the king said to Amasa, "Assemble the men of Judah for me within 3 days, and be present here yourself." So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he delayed longer than the set time which David had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, "Now Sheba the son of Bichri will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your Lord's servants and pursue him, lest he find for himself fortified cities and escape us." So Joab's men, with the Kerethites, the Pelethites, and all the mighty men, went out after him, and they went out of Jerusalem to pursue Sheba son of Bichri. When they were at the large stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa came before them. Now Joab was dressed in battle armor. On it was a belt with a sword fastened in its sheath at its hips, and as he was going forward, it fell out. Then Joab said to Amasa, "Are you in health, my brother?" Then Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa did not notice the sword that was in Joab's hand, and he struck him with it in the stomach, and his entrails poured out on the ground, and he did not strike him again. Thus he died. Then Joab and Abishai his brother pursued Sheba the son of Bichri. Meanwhile, one of Joab's men stood near Amasa and said, "Whoever favors Joab and whoever is for David, follow Joab." But Amasa wallowed in his blood in the middle of the highway. And when the man saw that all the people stood still, he moved Amasa from the highway to the field and threw a garment over him, when he saw that everyone who came upon him halted. When he was removed from the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue Sheba son of Bichri. And he went through all the tribes of Israel to Abel and Beth-Maachah and all the Berites. So they were gathered together and also went after Sheba. Then they came and besieged him in Abel of Beth-Maachah, and they cast up a siege mound against the city, and it stood by the rampart. And all the people who were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down. Then a wise woman cried out from the city, "Hear, hear, please, say to Joab, come nearby, that I may speak with you." When he had come near to her, the woman said, "Are you Joab?" He answered, "I am." And she said to him, "Hear the words of your maidservant." And he answered, "I am listening." So she spoke, saying, "They used to talk in former times, saying, 'They shall surely seek guidance at Abel.'" And so they would end disputes. "I am among the peaceable and faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city and a mother in Israel. Why would you swallow up the inheritance of Yahweh?" And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. That is not so, but a man from the mountains of Ephraim, Sheba son of Bichri by name, has raised his hand against the king, against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city." So the woman said to Joab, "Watch, his head will be thrown to you over the wall." Then the woman in her wisdom went to all the people, and they cut off the head of Sheba son of Bichri and threw it out to Joab. Then he blew a trumpet, and they withdrew from the city, every man to his tent. So Joab returned to the king at Jerusalem. And Joab was over all the army of Israel. Benaiah son of Jehoiada was over the Kerethites and the Pelethites. Adoram was in charge of revenue. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was recorder. Sheva was scribe. Zadok and Abiathar were the priests. And Ira, the Jairite, was a chief minister under David. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Now, David doesn't even get back to the palace before there's already a general rebellion among the tribes that side with Benjamin. Notice verse 3 is, now David came to his house at Jerusalem. But verse 1 and 2 tell us how Sheba, son of Bichri, a Benjamite, rallied everyone against David. So, all that David had done in not executing justice on Shimei, not justly and righteously giving Mephibosheth his inheritance back, but splitting it with Ziba. Shimei and Ziba were Benjamites. And so those were moves that would have been calculated to get the loyalty of the Benjamites, so that the Benjamites would stick with David. But Benjamites are Benjamites. And so here's Sheba, and all that David did to try and bring the Benjamites in, bring them along, blows up in his face. It's folly to appeal to the wicked and do what is unrighteous in hopes that you can somehow sway them to your side. Another thing that blows up in David's face is retaining Amasa, who has been Absalom's general. Well, not only is this unjust to those who have followed David, and even to Joab and Abishai, but especially Joab, who is the general of David's army. And David even says to Amasa in chapter 19, verse 13, say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? God, do so to me and more also if you are not commander of the army before me continually in the place of Joab. Well, not only was it unjust, it was stupid. Look at how well the men of Israel had fought for Absalom under the leadership of Amasa. And Amasa's first job is to collect some guys, and you've got 3 days to do it. Well, he's not even able to collect the guys in the 3 days. Trying to put one over on Joab doesn't turn out to go very well. Notice that even when Amasa is failing, the king doesn't turn to Joab in verse 6. He turns to Abishai. Maybe he can have Abishai be the new general. And David said to Abishai, now Sheba, son of Bichri, will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your lord's servants and pursue him. So he replaces Amasa with Abishai. But Abishai is also always, at least in command, not, it seems, in fighting prowess. When we look at the accounts of the mighty men, it seems that Abishai was a better fighter than Joab. But Joab was the better administrator, at least the more clever administrator. And Joab is going to do his Joab thing. And so they run into Amasa, and Joab's got the hidden sword, and he's going to go in and give Amasa a great big family hug. Amasa's his cousin. He's an Abishai's cousin. And goes to kiss him, and what does he do? Reminds you, doesn't it, of Judas with the Lord Jesus. He is not really there to kiss Amasa. He's there to kill Amasa. So everything that David has tried to do that he thought was the clever way to reestablish his own rule fails. Even the way he sends Joab after Sheba, son of Bichri, the whole thing with the wise woman and the negotiations for the head of Sheba, it's bloody. And yet it's merciful that the Lord delivers Sheba, ironically, again, not by the hand of Joab, even, or by anyone whom David sent, but by the hand of this clever woman. So when you get to the end of chapter 20, and you basically have the same formula as the end of chapter 8. Chapter 8 ends the section at the beginning of 2 Samuel, in which God was showing how God had, how he was establishing the reign of King David. chapter 8, reading verse 15, so David reigned over all Israel, and David administered judgment and justice to all his people. And now this part, verse 16 forward, is almost identical to verses 23 through 25. Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was over the army. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was recorder. Zadok, son of Ahitub, and Ahimelech, son of Abiathar, were priests. Sariah was the scribe. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was over both the Kerethites and the Pelethites. And David's sons were chief ministers. There's a couple of changes by this time, but in verse 23, Joab was over all the army of Israel. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was over the Kerethites and Pelethites. Adoram was in charge of revenue. Jehoshaphat, son of Ahilud, was recorder. Sheba was scribe. Zadok and Abiathar were priests. And Ira, the Jairite, was a chief minister under David. So the point at the end of chapter 20 is David's kingdom has been reestablished. But if you look at the rest of chapter 20 and how everything David did for the reestablishing of his authority and the reorganization of his kingdom, everything David did blew up in his face. So when you get the formula at the end of chapter 20 and you see that David has been restored, you're not like, oh, David is such a great king. When you get to the end of chapter 20, you say, God is such a gracious God. Look at this king who doesn't deserve a thing. He deserves what Absalom did, which is why all of that happened, right? God told him that that was going to happen, and we're reminded by that with the 10 women, which is another thing that blew up in his face. David left them to keep the palace, but they ended up being abused, and the rest of their lives are spent in the sorrow of widowhood, according to this chapter. But you remember that this was all, everything that happened with Absalom was punishment for David's sin. And then when David's kingdom is reestablished, it's not because he's being wise, it's not because he's being righteous, just because God is gracious. So a couple of things here. One, this is not the account of David's greatness, but of God's graciousness. And two, we need a better king. And all of the kings in the history of Israel, and especially Judah, point us forward to the fact that we desperately need Jesus to be king. And we still need Jesus to be king, don't we? Look at America. Look at Afghanistan. And the best kings and presidents and heads of state have always, if we judge them rightly, made us see that what we need is a new heaven and a new earth, in which righteousness dwells, and in which Jesus himself is personally on earth as the king. That's what we need. So let us not fall into the idea that the greatness of other men is what we need, or that we ourselves can be great, or that what we need is our own greatness. Let us remember that what we need most of all, what is our hope and what we are looking forward to, is the great graciousness of God and the kingship, the forever kingship of the Lord Jesus. So trust in him. Don't be impressed with yourself. If the Lord should bring you into a season of peace and security and effectiveness, it's because he is gracious, not because you are great. Let's pray. Lord, help us to remember this when things are going well, so that we will give you all the glory and be full of gratitude to you. Help us to remember this when things are going poorly, so that we will not despair, but remember that you are gracious and you are powerful. And even when we are being very foolish and weak and even sinning, yet you, for the sake of your covenant, for the sake of your name, for the sake of your forgiveness, as we look to you through Christ and rest in him alone, yet you do rightly and you do graciously and you do powerfully. Lord, we feel very much these days in our nation, in the church, in our own home, our need for Christ to be king. look forward to when the great family in heaven and earth are gathered and the family worship is led by Jesus. He is ruling over the household of which he himself is the head, and the body of which he himself is the head. And we need Jesus to be the king, the high priest of his church. We need Jesus to be the king of our country. And so we ask, Lord Jesus, as you sit enthroned in glory, that for now in these institutions, in the family and in the church and in the state, which are under you, that you would give humility to those who are in the leadership, that you would give them submission to you and godliness and wisdom, that you would spare them from the kind of scheming that David tried but blew up in his face, and that even when there is that kind of scheming, that you would be merciful, that you would overrule it for good. We depend upon your graciousness. Oh, help us, God, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.